shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, and we will read at verse 20. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. It was the intention to come to Revelation chapter 15 and 16 and continue the series and preach about the vials of wrath that are to be poured out upon the earth. The vials of wrath are to warn us to flee from the wrath to come. The vials or bowls of wrath are poured out on the unbelieving world. And you might say, are these indications of warning or are they judgment? Well, I believe that the vials of wrath are just what the vials of wrath are. Wrath, God's punishments upon the earth for people rejecting his Son and not repenting of their sin. But we are warned from the Word of God. The pages of Scriptures warn us to flee from the wrath to come. But perhaps a louder call has been heard in Providence in our congregation, louder perhaps than a series of sermons on the vials of wrath. And it is Christ's call to us. And he is speaking and he is knocking, and very loudly. And he's giving us another opportunity to open up to him and receive him as our Savior. He is calling us and he is standing near. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. There may be some here who can say, well, I've heard the minister preach on this text two or three times. What if I told you this is the fourth or fifth time that I'm preaching from this text in this congregation? It's irrelevant. The question is, have you opened to him? If you have heard this text preached to you over the years, and you have heard Christ, his knocking at your door over the years, what is your response to his knocking? What is our response to his call? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Has the Lord come into you, into your heart? If the answer is no, there's only one explanation. You have not opened the door of your heart. You're still keeping your door closed to him. He is saying in his word, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. If he has not come in, it's because we haven't opened the door. But if we open the door of our hearts, he will come in. And what a blessed experience that will be. He says, if any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So we will consider with the Lord's help the Savior knocking at the door of the sinner's heart. The Savior knocking at the door of the sinner's heart. In the second place, the opening of the sinner's heart to receive Christ. This is a blessed experience when a sinner opens the door of the heart and receives and welcomes Christ. Is it our experience? Have we opened the door of our hearts to receive Christ? And then we will consider, in the third place, the blessedness of communion with Christ. The Lord is inviting us to receive blessings from Him, to receive Him and so fellowship with Him, to enjoy the benefits of salvation. Oh, that we would not put from us these blessings, that we would not dismiss forgiveness of sins when He's offering to pardon us, when He's offering to sanctify us, when He's promising to give us gold tried in the fire that we may be rich, even the white raiment of His righteousness, and eye salve, that our eyes would be open, we would see, we would perceive wonderful things. Oh, that we would not exclude ourselves from these blessings, that we would not shut the door of our hearts and put from us the blessings of salvation when Christ is counseling us to buy of Him gold tried in the fire, all of these blessings, to take for ourselves as if we were buying. Let us pray earnestly that the Holy Spirit would work, accompany the Word, and enable sinners to receive Christ, to open their hearts, that they would have grace to open up to Christ and receive Him. Let us pray earnestly that the Lord would work among us. First of all, the Savior knocking at the door of the heart. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door." Behold. He's saying, look. He's calling us to attention. He is arousing our attention that we would take heed to what He says. Behold, I stand at the door. Whose door is He standing at? Your door. My door. He is very near. Near to His people. Yes, knocking at their hearts too. Calling them to open up to Him. Do not close the door of Him speaking to you. He is knocking so that He would have closer dealings with you. Fellowship with you. Communion with you. To enjoy the blessings of His grace and the blessings of His presence in your own soul, child of God. Do not close the door on Him. Behold, I stand at the door. He stands at your door, friend. You have not yet opened up to Him. He's standing at your door. Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is speaking to you and knocking at the door of your heart? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is he that is knocking? Who is he that is speaking? Behold, I stand at the door. It is Jesus. The one who loved sinners and died for them. Who was willing to go to the cross. And who prayed for those who tormented him, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is there anyone like him so ready to forgive? So ready to receive sinners? And yet he is not a mere man. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God manifest in the flesh. This person who says, "Behold, I stand at the door. I who am the King of kings and Lord of lords am knocking at the door of your heart." He's the precious Savior who is both God and man, in two distinct natures and one person forever, knocking at the door of your heart and mine. This glorious person, this prophet to teach us, this priest to deliver us from the guilt of our sins, this king to rule over us and defend us, he is knocking at the door of our hearts. Knocking, knocking and knocking. What is his knocking telling us? It is telling us that he's ready to come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. What is a person doing when he or she is knocking at your door? He or she is signaling that you would open the door. The person is requesting admission, that the person would come in and find an entry, a welcome. This is the intention. Christ is knocking at the door of your heart for a purpose. And his intention is to come in. That's the express avowed purpose of knocking, that the person would open the door and he would come in. Here is the wonderful condescension of Christ. Here is the Savior stooping down to our level, coming down to our door. What if there was a great king who descended the throne, walked to the village, and stooped down, as it were, to come to the lowliest cottage and knock on the door of a poor peasant? That would be astonishing. But this is not any ordinary king on earth. This is the King of Kings, the sovereign ruler, the possessor of heaven and earth, knocking at your door. Jesus is the head of the church. And yet, just as he stooped down to wash the disciples' feet, he humbled himself to die on the cross, and he condescends, he comes down to knock at the door of our hearts. Is this not a wonder? And let us remember what is involved in Christ coming to knock at the door of our hearts. What made it possible for him to do such a thing? Redemption made it possible. He died on the cross to save sinners from the guilt of their sins. He loved the church and gave himself for it. He died for every one of his people. And that is the only way that the gospel door is open, so that sinners may have Christ freely offered to them. That is the only way that the gospel can be preached. There is good news only because Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. If he had not died, there would be no gospel to preach. How thankful you should be, friend, hearing the gospel again, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. That opened the door of salvation. Jesus himself says, "I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Any man, any person. Come in then. But of course, the door is in the text. Your door, of your heart. He is knocking at the door of your heart for admission. And the door of our hearts are twofold. It's like a double door. How? Because our heart or soul has two faculties. And this, of course, is the understanding and the will. Now, these faculties, the understanding and the will, are the twofold door, the double door of our heart. The understanding and the will are the means of access to our soul. Things, ideas at least, come into our hearts by this way. Through the understanding, we know it, and the will, we desire it. And so the Lord is knocking at the door of our heart, speaking to us, to our judgment, to our understanding. He is using things to help our understanding, simple analogies, so that our minds can get some idea of what Jesus is really doing. Is there a real door in our hearts, so with a handle that you can open so things can come in? No, it's a picture, it's a symbol. Jesus is knocking at the door of our heart, speaking to our understanding, using a picture or analogy to give us an idea of what he is doing. He's calling for entry. He's calling that we might receive him into our hearts, speaking to our understanding, and then addressing our affections and will. Our will, the other side of the door, as it were, or the second part of the door. Our understanding and our will. He is addressing our will, and he is presenting to us his loveliness, his power, his sufficiency to attract us so our will would go out to him. But what is the problem? Well, the problem is the door is shut against him. And that's because of these two faculties. The understanding is darkened. The will is prone to evil. The heart is barred shut against him. Our understanding is biased by sin. And that is why the Bible says that sinners put darkness for light and light for darkness. We, by nature, corrupt sinners that we are, we choose evil. We reject good. That is, the faculties of the understanding and will are corrupted by sin. And therefore, the door of our hearts is bolted against Christ. How solemn that is. How it should make us quake and tremble in our souls to know it. That by nature we are dead in trespasses and sins. And yet Jesus is still knocking at the door of our hearts. Because we still have an understanding. We still have a will. Darkened by sin. Subject to evil. But still we are thinking beings. Still we are choosing rational beings. Therefore, the Lord Jesus is addressing our understanding and our will, and we are responsible for our response. We are accountable for how we react and respond to the call of Christ. Your own conscience tells you. Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice..." Do we have ears? Yes, we all have ears. Are we using them for good purpose? Well, Jesus tells us numerous times, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Why do you have the faculty of hearing if you're not going to use it for this purpose of hearing my word, receiving my truth, and obeying me? The Lord is standing at the door of our hearts, but the sinner is unwilling to receive him. That's the fact of the matter. It's not just that we're poor, helpless victims. And, I would receive Christ if I could do that. No, no. We are darkened by sin. We choose evil. We are prone to evil, willing to receive what is sinful and rejecting what is good. The fact of the matter is, we do not want to be disturbed. We don't like the knocking of Christ at the door of our hearts. It's similar to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, verse 21. "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." And we don't want our consciences disturbed. There's some natural aversion in us to hear, to accept anything that disturbs our peace. One minister used to say about the unconverted, in love with sin, "How light your step would be if you could be assured that there were no God and you could go on your merry way enjoying life without God." That's a solemn matter. We don't want to be disturbed. We don't want our consciences affected. We don't want to be convicted. We don't want to be condemned. But Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And what has happened? You have shut the door of your heart against him. You are unwilling to receive him. How we should confess with humiliation that we have shut the door of our hearts against Christ. And yet he is still standing. "Behold, I stand." It is in the present tense, perhaps in the perfect tense, which means that he has stood and he is still standing at the door and knocking. "I stand at the door and knock." He is coming so close to you, sinner. He is standing so near to you. What is he bringing to you? He's bringing salvation to you. Standing so near to you. He says in Isaiah 46, verse 13, "I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off." He's not far away. He's near. Jesus is not somewhere else. He's here. He's near. He's here at your heart and he's knocking. Knocking. Knocking at the door of your heart. But how long have you resisted him? Did you hear what I said? How long have you resisted him? How many years, how many decades have gone by, and yes, your heart has remained closed against him. Closed. You have resisted his knocking. You have not obeyed his voice. What ingratitude that is, to shut out the Savior still after all these years. And yet he's long-suffering. You have, up to this very moment, kept the door closed, and yet he's still knocking. The fact that he is standing at the door of our hearts and not in our hearts, what does that mean? He's not in, he's out. We have kept him out, and what ingratitude that is. He's standing at our heart means he's still outside our hearts for those who are not converted, for those who have not come to him. We're not speaking to everyone in the congregation. We're addressing the unconverted, those who have still hitherto kept the Lord out of their hearts by unwillingness to receive him. Unwillingness to receive Christ means you are keeping the door closed against him. As if a loving parent came to the child and knocked on the door, and the child was too busy with his or her games and refused to let the parent inside. Who gave the child all these toys and games? It was the parent. What an ungrateful child to say, "No, I'm not ready for my parent to come in." So busy. Are we too busy and too active in our lives to receive Christ? We have other things to do. We've got more important things or just more enjoyable things to do, and therefore we are not willing to have Christ come in and take possession of our souls. When Christ gave us all that we have, the King of Kings has given us many good things, and in this world we enjoy so many mercies from him, our health, our livelihood, our family and friends. And yet, if we have shut out Christ, we care more about these earthly things than him. We love the things of this life more than Christ. That's the fact. That's the fact. You love sin more than Christ. Will not conscience register this? How ashamed we should be that we love sin more than Jesus Christ. We have chosen sinful things, earthly things, things that will not profit us to eternity. We've chosen these things over Christ. And yet the Lord is still knocking at the door of our hearts. And where is he knocking? What instruments does he use to knock at the door of our hearts? Well, there is public worship, the preaching of the word, family worship, all the means of grace, private reading, prayer even, when you use scripture in prayer and you quote scripture in prayer. In all of these ways, the Lord is knocking at the door of our hearts. He is knocking at the door of our hearts by his word. Sometimes it's a word of threatening. When he warns people about the unbearable punishment in hell for those who have rejected him, their suffering in hell will be more intolerable than the punishment of wicked sinners like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Their punishment will be more bearable than yours because they never heard about Christ. They never had the gospel preached to them. And for us, if we hear about Christ and we don't receive him, our punishment in hell will be far worse, far more severe. How we need to open the door of our hearts and receive him before it's too late, and our punishment will be worse than that of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord also knocks at the door of our hearts by the invitations of his word. He is knocking by his sweet entreaties, inviting us to receive him, calling us, wooing us to himself. What a loving voice he has. When he is calling sinners in their need who are covered with the mire of sin and saying, "I will wash you, I will clothe you with my righteousness," how can we shut the door of our hearts against him? Yes, it's the word of Christ. It's his voice. His voice is calling us. Can you not hear his voice? He says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is not the voice of a mere man. This is the voice of the God-man, the one who is Emmanuel, God with us. He has come down. He walked among us in the days of his flesh. Yes, 2,000 years ago, but still in the gospel era, he came and he spoke to sinners and he invited them to come to him. He says, come unto me, come unto me. All ye that labored are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What precious words. Can you think of more precious words than these? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You're desiring happiness, but you're going in the wrong direction. I invite you to come to me, and I will fill you. I will give you true happiness and satisfaction. What a loving voice, wooing us to himself. It's the voice of Christ. And Christ is also knocking at the door of our hearts in his providence. Nothing takes place by chance. Nothing takes place by chance. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? So everything that happens in our life is a message from heaven, pointing us to the God of providence. The good things he gives us, the evils that happen in our life. I'm talking about calamities and tragedies and accidents and difficulties. These things that are evil to our nature, they have the tendency to make us miserable and deprive us of comfort. They bring a negative reaction in our soul's experience. These are providences in which the Lord is knocking at our hearts, calling us to awake, calling us to receive him, so that what we are going through in providence is a loud call to us to open the door of our hearts to receive Christ. Do I need to go further? The various situations, if we had an injury or an illness or a bereavement, whatever it may be that brings sorrow to our mind and heart, Jesus is knocking at the door of our hearts, speaking to us, calling to us, open up to me. Do not shut me out of your heart any longer. Open, open. The Lord is also knocking by his judgments and by his mercies. In painful situations and in merciful providences, all things throughout our life, whether it is comfortable or miserable, the Lord has ordained all things. He is directing, disposing, governing all his creatures and all their actions. And in all that we go through, we are being called upon to receive Christ, to repent of our sins. These things should have the effect of making us turn to the Lord, to receive Christ, and rest on him alone for salvation. The Lord is knocking at the door of our hearts by his Holy Spirit. When he gives us impressions of his truth, perhaps we've had an impression of joy, the wonder of comfort and happiness in heaven, and that has been impressed upon us. Is it not the Holy Spirit striving with us or working with us, giving us a little more light? These are called the common operations of his Spirit. When the truth becomes more real, we gain a little more light. Perhaps our convictions of sin are stronger, and we cannot trace it to any particular thing, but the Holy Spirit is striving with us, impressing us with the truth. And more than that, it is Jesus Christ knocking at the door of your heart, And what does this mean? It means that we should not delay to receive him. Now, if ever, is the time when the kingdom of heaven is brought so close to us. As Jesus said to the man, thou art not far from the kingdom of heaven. We're not far because we, by the Spirit striving with us and providences in our lives, the Lord Jesus is knocking and knocking even more loudly, and therefore it is time. It is time to open up to him, time to receive him. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hear his voice, open the door. Do not exclude him any longer. Press into the kingdom. Strive to enter into the straight gate. Strive to open the door. Say to the Lord, come in, Lord, come in. Do not stay outside any longer. Come into my heart. Oh, that I would receive thee and no longer exclude thee, that my heart would no longer remain shut and barred and bolted against thee, Lord, to receive thee, to welcome thee, to have thee as my Savior. Well, that brings us to the second head, which is the opening of the sinner's heart to receive Christ. The call is universal. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. If any man, he calls everyone. He tells his servants, the ministers of the word, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All creation is to hear the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Either believe and be saved, or don't believe, be excluded from salvation and damned and condemned and punished to all eternity. Oh, that we would receive the gospel, the good news of salvation. We would joyfully receive Christ into our souls and exclude him no longer. If any man hear my voice, have you heard him, young or old, rich or poor, the ignorant, the intelligent, higher class, lower class, it doesn't matter, subjects or rulers, whatever, on the whole field of humanity, if any man hear my voice, hear my voice. Well, to hear means, very often means to obey. To obey the voice of the Lord. And have you not heard him? Have you not obeyed him? Are you hearing him now? And his knocking loudly at the door of your heart so that your soul is reverberating with trembling because he's knocking so loudly at the door of your heart. Have you heard him speak? Well, he is speaking to everyone. In the gospel call, as we mentioned already, his call, his invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the outward call. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. You've heard him speak this way, with the physical ears. You've heard him. But have you heard him in your soul? When the Lord makes the outward call to become effective, and there are results to the call of the gospel, that is the effectual call. As you've heard many times, the difference between the outward call and the inward call, it's when the outward call of the gospel becomes effective in the heart and results in the heart actually open to receive Christ. When the Holy Spirit convinces us of our sin, not just that we heard about it at the hearing of the ear, but now we see it, we feel it. I am a sinner, I am condemned, I am terrified about the wrath of God, and I see myself a condemned sinner, and God is holy and just and righteous to condemn me. Have we felt that? The Holy Spirit convincing us of our sin and misery, and enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ. Yes, there's the understanding, and Jesus is speaking to the understanding, but now our understanding is enlightened, And we see what we never saw before. We perceive the suitability of Christ, the sufficiency of Christ to our soul's need. And then the Holy Spirit renews our will. Yes, the will that's prone to evil, that it keeps the Lord Jesus out. The Holy Spirit renews the will and makes the soul willing to receive Christ. Now that's when the sinner opens the door of the heart. Yes, the sinner opens the door of the heart. But it's the Lord by his power persuading the sinner to open the door. Persuading and enabling, making the soul able to open the door and receive Christ. As the Lord opened the heart of Lydia, when she sat at the riverside hearing Paul preach Christ, we read the Lord, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things that were spoken of Paul. Paul preached, Lydia listened, and the Lord opened her heart. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that encouraging? The Lord opened her heart? Yes, you're responsible to open your heart and receive Christ, but here's the good news. He offers his Spirit. He actually works. He opens the hearts of sinners to enable them to receive Christ. When the Lord knocks at the door of the heart, it is our responsibility to hear his voice and open the door. And opening the door, what does that imply? When you open the door to your friend, after he or she has been knocking at the door, you're glad to see your friend, you swing the door wide open, you say, "Come in, have a seat." Well, opening the door implies consent, a willingness to have Christ. And let me ask you, every one of you here, are you willing to have Christ? Do you desire Christ? Are you willing for him to come in and abide in you? So, when the sinner opens the door of their heart, this implies consent to his salvation, willing to be saved by Jesus Christ. The Lord is thereby coming in through our understanding and our will. Willingness. In other words, Jesus coming into our hearts is not by a forced entrance into the soul. He doesn't force his way through. He comes when we're willing to have him. This is why Jesus speaks to us. "Come unto me, I'll give you rest." Do you want rest? Do you want the blessings of salvation that I offer you? "Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Have you done so? Well, if not, it's because you're not willing. Let's focus on that. Are you willing to have Christ? What is the answer? Friend, are you willing to have Christ? What is your response? When the door of our hearts is opened, we are willing to have Christ. And if we are willing to have Christ, he is willing to have us. To open to Christ is to welcome him. Faith is receiving Christ and resting on him alone for salvation. There is desire in the heart for Jesus, Christ, as our prophet to teach us, as our priest to save us from guilt, and our king to rule over us. Now, I say that partly because people say, "Oh, well, I want Jesus. And you're telling me that if I want Jesus, I'm saved?" The question is, do we want Christ, Jesus, the Lord? Do we want Christ as our prophet to teach us, our priest to save us from our guilt and liability to eternal wrath? Do we want Jesus as our king to rule over us and defend us? Yes, if we desire Christ, prophet, priest, and king, we're willing to have him as our prophet, as our priest, and as our king, then yes, that means he is our Savior. We are saved. Our hearts are open to him. We welcome him. We desire him. In faith, in this opening of the heart, there is also trust. Think about your friend. If you open the door of your home to receive your friend, well, you must know who he is. You must trust that person. You trust that person that they're not going to raid the cabinets and steal your jewels or whatever else you might have. You trust the person. Now, if we are excluding Christ, shutting him out of our hearts, we don't trust him. We're not trusting him to save us. We're not believing that he can make us truly happy and blessed. We don't trust him to forgive our sins. How dare we not trust the Lord Jesus? May the Holy Spirit convince you of the evil of unbelief and shutting out Christ. You don't trust him. Is there not a time for rebuke? Should we not chide ourselves for our refusal of Christ? We're not trusting the precious Savior to come in and cleanse us and make us his own child by his powerful grace. Not trusting him. How this should break our hearts to say, oh Lord Jesus, I've not trusted thee. Oh Lord, come into my heart. Oh, that I would trust thee to do everything that I need. Lord, I don't know anything at all. I trust thee, Lord, to help me, to give me wisdom, to teach me, to save me. Lord, be the ruler and Lord of my life. I would trust thee to be my prophet and priest and king, to be my all in all. Well, is this not something of opening the door, receiving Christ so that he might come in? As Laban said to Abraham's servant when he was seeking a wife for Isaac, Laban said to him, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? I have prepared the house and room for the camels, and straw and provender for the camels, water to wash his feet, everything that was needed. Opening up completely to the Lord Jesus, I'm all for thee, Lord. And whatever remains opposed to thee, Lord, quash it, conquer it, make me thine, wholly thine, fully willing to do whatever thou would have me to do. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Well, if this is our experience, we desire Christ. If he is precious to us, and we want him to root out every wicked thing in our hearts and lives, if we find him suitable to our soul's condition, and when he comes in, we find sin being cast out, that's what happens. He comes in, sin is cast out. Though we still have the old man, yet there's a new man that desires Christ, and we sincerely desire to forsake sin, departing from iniquity. If this is our experience, if this is our desire, if Christ is precious to us, if sin is bitter to us, and we desire to depart from it, we're praying sincerely for grace to be rid of sin, to turn from our besetting sins, to turn from our pride and anything that grieves the Spirit, if this is our desire, then we have the blessedness of fellowship with Christ. He says, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. In the third place, the blessedness of fellowship with Christ. When the door of the heart is open to receive Christ, Christ takes possession of the soul. Satan is cast out. Perhaps in the soul's experience, the effective knocks of Christ have alarmed Satan, and he has flooded the mind with evil thoughts and blasphemous thoughts, and he's trying to disturb the soul and prevent the sinner coming to Christ. Satan does not wish to lose any of his slaves. But the Lord Jesus does a powerful work, and it's effective, to cast out the devil. Christ binds Satan, the strong man, and sets the sinner free. And there will be some freedom in your experience. The Lord is loosening the hold that sin has on you. And that's why people can't claim to be true Christians if they're still shoplifting or taking drugs, getting drunk all the time, and watching filthy things in books and television and so on. The Lord Jesus gives us freedom from the power and dominion of sin. The strong man is bound. Christ reigns in the soul. I'm not saying there's not a time of upheaval and tumult in the soul. Satan will try to torment the sinner that's coming to Christ, but the Lord gives power. It may feel like there's hardly any power, just a spark of grace, but it's still there. And it's leading to this desire and endeavor with strong crying to God that he would help the sinner overcome besetting sins. Well, there's a feast to those who have Christ come into their hearts. Jesus has come in, and he brings a provision. First of all, he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him. So Jesus will sup. He will have a meal with the person that receives him. And I believe that's speaking in the first instance of Jesus enjoying the graces of the soul. Jesus has taken up residence in the soul and is satisfied that the soul now belongs to him. These are the faculties of understanding and the will and affections, and Jesus is filling them. He's satisfied that the sinner has come to him, and by the grace of God, the sinner loves Christ and is thankful and is repenting, and Jesus is receiving these graces. It's a feast to him, even as we read in Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 16, the believer is saying, "Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, and so on. And these are fruits for Jesus to enjoy. So Jesus comes into the soul, and he is the guest. And the soul is the host to receive the guest and provide provision, a feast. And yet, Jesus continues and he says, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He will sup with me. I will provide what is nourishing and satisfying. I will provide a feast for that sinner. And what does he offer? He offers himself as the bread of life. Jesus gave his body and blood to be the means of delivering the soul from the guilt of sin. He has purchased the sinner's salvation, deliverance from the wrath to come. Jesus is food for the soul because his body was broken and his blood was shed. And that, of course, is symbolized in the Lord's Supper when the communicants take the bread and take the wine. It's a symbol of Christ coming into the soul by faith. We should remember these things. The Lord's Supper is to be a help to us. We receive the bread and wine into our mouths. It's a symbol of Christ Jesus coming into our souls. What a privilege this is. To think that a poor peasant at a cottage might receive the prime minister or the king on the throne coming down to enjoy a meal with this poor person in their lowly house, yet that is just a poor, faint emblem of Jesus Christ coming into our poor souls, and not just for a few moments or a few days, but forever, taking possession of our souls and reigning over us. Oh, to be in the presence of the King and to have all the privileges and provisions that the King brings. It's truly a feast. It's the greatest blessedness to have the feast of forgiveness, to know that all our sins are put away by his precious blood, and that he himself, his body and blood, is our rich provision, the source of strength, as he said, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." And every believer, those who have truly received Christ, they know that and they feel that. They cannot live for a day without looking to Jesus Christ, who was crucified for them, to feed on his broken body and shed blood spiritually, not literally. Feeding on Christ crucified in their souls. Oh, do we value such a feast? What about ourselves? Have we embraced this gracious invitation? "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." Is he precious to us? And whatever we still find in our souls that is sinful and displeasing to God, are we ashamed of it? Do we loathe ourselves because of what we still find in us? Is there this spiritual poverty? Yes, we're rich because we have Christ, but we're still poor in and of ourselves, having nothing good at all, nothing of inherent worth or merit or goodness of ourselves. But, again, is Christ precious to us? Have we been made willing to receive him? Well, the conversion of a soul, as we said, consists in this: the willingness to have Christ. If we have been made willing, we should be truly thankful. And as I said earlier, recognize that there are tendencies in all of us to yield to spiritual sloth, to slumber, and therefore Jesus is still knocking at the door of our hearts. And we may be having to admit, I sleep, I'm slumbering, but my heart waketh. I can't rest like this. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, "Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night." He's still knocking. He still wants to have communion with us. So let us seek grace to receive him and turn from anything that displeases him, that we might enjoy this wonderful fellowship with him. How precious and sweet it is to know that Jesus is our Savior. He is near to us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Finally, do not refuse admittance to the King. Give him an entry. He offers great things to you, a feast of fat things, so wonderful and satisfying, this wonderful provision. Don't turn it away. Don't do him the unkindness of rejecting him. What an offense it is to slight the one who is knocking at the door of our hearts. Perhaps you're thinking about your inability and saying, "Well, you've been saying for years that we need to open our heart to receive Christ. And then you tell us that we cannot open our hearts to receive Christ. You tell us to open when we can't. And I don't understand this." Well, the fact of the matter is, if you've been hearing it for so many years and it's still a question to you, you've been stumbling over it for so many years, and it's been hindering you from seeking the one thing needful. Instead of letting a theoretical matter get in the way, you should focus on your duty. If you only felt your need more, if you saw the reality of hellfire, if it awakened you thoroughly, if it penetrated your very heart and shook you to the bones, you wouldn't be saying, "Oh, I'm just confused. What's the point?" No, no. Don't make your inability an excuse to put off salvation and shut the door of your heart to Christ. Perhaps you're ready to say in this situation, "Well, if I could open the door of my heart, if I had some ability, then I would do it." You're getting it wrong. Is it really true that you would? Because if you would, then it would happen. If you are willing to have Christ, he's already in your heart. But the fact is, by nature, sinners don't want Christ. And that should break your heart. You don't really want him. You want something else. And we would go to our study tonight and weep over you. Will you not weep over your own evil heart? That you will not have this man to reign over you. You will not have this precious Savior to be your Savior. You will not have this precious and lovely one to be taking up residence in your heart. How evil is your heart? How this should melt your heart. But he's still offered to you. He's still knocking at the door of your heart. What you need is your eyes to be opened. You need your eyes open to see your need as it really is. It's deep, it's dire, and even desperate. And you need your eyes open to see the beauty of the King. And then, when you see his loveliness, your heart would open. You see, it's not, if you could, you would. It is, if you would, you could have him. If you would have him, you can have him. You can have this precious Savior. If you're willing to have him, he's willing to have you. If you're willing to have him, he's already there within you. If you're saying, "Oh Lord Jesus, I truly desire thee to be my prophet and priest and king. I truly desire thy blood to wash away my sin. I truly desire thy spirit to purify my heart." He is your Savior. And pray then for that assurance. Don't rest in what the minister is telling you, but go to the promises, plead his word, pray, "Lord, if there's a spark of grace in my heart, fan the spark into a flame of love and devotion," and plead the promises and seek to know the Lord's will and pray earnestly that he would indeed show you the feast, that he would have fellowship with you. He is saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He has been knocking. If you're willing to have him come in, he is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." He is so near to you. Perhaps even now he is within you. "Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." If you're trusting in his blood and you desire to be washed in your soul from all sin, he says, "Go in peace. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." The Lord Jesus is worthy. He is worthy of all acceptation. He is worthy to take possession of your soul, to abide in you forever and ever. Then accept him. Don't turn him away. He is calling. Do not harden your heart. If hardness of heart is something you feel, pray for the breaking of your heart, the melting of your heart. Oh, pray that you would have him. "Lord, I cannot rest till I know that thou art my Savior. I would have thee, Lord. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief." Hear him speak. Hear him call. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me." May he bless his word. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we look only to thee to bless thy word, that thy word would come with power. The Spirit would melt the hearts of men and women to receive with joy the engrafted word which is able to save their souls, that they would receive the word revealing Christ, that they would receive Christ revealed in the word. As thy holy truth tells us, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in him with thy heart, thou shalt be saved. Oh, that we would receive this precious, lovely one, and if we have not and are not, oh, that we would be convinced of the evil of our hearts, and truly grieve and be ashamed of our hearts. Oh, Lord, forgive all our sin, all our unbelief, and help us to come to Jesus, that we might experience his wonderful, glorious salvation. We ask all these things in his name and for his sake alone. Amen.